Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'd say up to the age of 16, I was playing at the highest level that you could for a 16-year-old in Australia. A couple of my teammates are probably well known. Tim Cahill, I played with him in his team for a couple of years at Sydney Olympic. I played alongside Lucas Neal a few times when I was younger as well.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking with Fabian DiMarco, Managing Director of Commercial and Construction Capital. We'll hear how he juggles a business and his own personal investments. He'll share some life lessons from a self-proclaimed former party animal and the difference between loving the game of soccer and living it. DiMarco is a senior commercial lending specialist with over 20 years of financial services expertise honed within property development and corporate finance. He's worked for the big banks and the small ones too. He's seen the good, the not so good, and the great ways of doing property finance. But maybe the best part about him? He's a local boy from Sydney.
You can probably tell by the surname that I have some ethnic descent. My parents were both born in Italy. And migrated over to Australia when they were about 13, 14 years old. So I was born and raised here in Sydney. I would describe myself as someone that is adventurous, someone that likes having fun, but someone that can also be serious when they need to. I'm the Managing Director for Commercial and Construction Capital. So Commercial and Construction Capital is an expert firm in arranging non-bank private finance for property investors and property developers.
As someone who's worked in a high-pressure environment for several decades, you'd think DiMarco can handle everything that's thrown at him. You'd be right if we were just talking about finance, but family? I don't think anyone has figured that out yet.
The best way to describe it is, and I know the younger listeners are probably not going to have any idea what I'm about to say is, but when I was little, there used to be these little... There were little like Christmas things that were filled with water, and when you shake them, it had snow in it, and as you shake it, the snow would go everywhere, and it would slowly then settle down back down to the ground. But when you first pick it up and you shake it, everything goes everywhere, and then as the water starts to settle, everything starts to settle back into place, and that's pretty much my day in a nutshell now. So I wake up in the morning. We've got three young boys, and it's just nonstop from the second they wake up to the second we get them to bed. But obviously in between there's some serious stuff. I run a business. I try to keep myself active by trying to get to the gym as well in the mornings, at least three or four times a week. Can't say that... That always happens, but that's typically the plan. We start off with a little bit of exercise in the morning, get the kids off to school, then get into the work day. Obviously, afternoons, the kids come home. So there's that period between sort of 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock where both my wife and I are like circus juggling clowns where we're juggling between kids and trying to take emails and take calls and still try and present a very corporate and professional appearance whilst we've got kids asking for afternoon tea and activities and all of that. So So it's very exciting. It's that time of life for us. But yeah, look, one thing that I've realized, you know, you can miss a lot of life if you're constantly trying to always be at the next checkpoint instead of sort of just appreciating where you are. You know, this is the phase of life we're in right now. It's chaotic, but try to find a little bit of beauty in the chaos, if that makes sense.
Now, DeMarco is a father trying his best to forge a great life for his family. His own childhood was a little different.
For the listeners that are not from Sydney, I'd say it's about 20 minutes outside of Sydney CBD in an area called Ryde. So I went to school in that area as well. So yeah, I've pretty much been in Sydney my whole life. You know, we've toyed with the idea of possibly life outside of Sydney, but at the moment Sydney is where we call home. The best memories I have is sort of just playing with your cousins on a weekend or after school. You know, whether it was, we did everything. We'd play soccer, we'd play cricket, we'd chase cicadas, you know, knock on the neighbors' doors and go and play in their backyard. There's a lot of things that kids don't, I think, have the opportunity to do today. The world's a very different place now than it was, you know, a while back. I don't want to say how long back, but a while back. But yeah, it was fun. I have great memories of my childhood, and you know, something that I hope my kids look back as well and can say they have good memories as well.
In the modern world we live in, great memories can look different to every new generation.
My little one was at the TV the other day just trying to swipe and change the channel. I mean, he doesn't, at first we looked at him and said, like, what's he doing? But then we thought, why wouldn't he do that? Every single device he touches, he can touch and swipe it and move it, and it looks just like a giant iPad. So, you know, it would make sense. That's the future. Obviously, it's a balancing act. You know, you try to sort of not expose them to too much technology, because obviously you want their brain to develop organically. But at the same token, that's the future. That's the world they're growing into. So you can't shield them from it and not let them be exposed to it, because then they're probably going to grow up a little bit behind where everyone else is. So it's a bit of a balancing act, trying to balance, you know, what's a fair and suitable amount of time on devices.
Sport has always played a big part in the Australian way of life. For DeMarco, it really shaped how he has lived.
I'd say up to the age of 16, I was playing at the highest level that you could for a 16-year-old in Australia. I never played for the national team or anything like that, but you know, a couple of my teammates are probably well known. Tim Cahill, I played with him in his team for a couple of years at Sydney Olympic. I played alongside Lucas Neal a few times when I was younger as well. So a few of the Socceroos, obviously, you know, that's at it. 15-16 year old, I was sort of playing at that level, but as I said, that jump from that age group to senior football, it's all mental, it's all discipline, it's all hard work, and if you're not willing to do that, then you don't have a chance. And unfortunately, I was more concerned about going to nightclubs, chasing girls and having fun than I was about training.
Hindsight is a powerful tool that we are all presented with about a decade too late.
I had a lot of fun. I definitely can't deny that. I had a lot of fun in my 20s. Obviously, you know, hindsight is a beautiful thing. But yeah, it was a lot of great lessons learned, to put it that way. There's no doubt, you know, being a professional footballer, sorry, when I say football, I'm referring to soccer. I just have it by calling it football. But yeah, but being a professional in that sport, you know, you're pretty much set. If you play anywhere in Europe, you should be, you know, provided you invest your money wisely, you should be financially set for the rest of your life. But, you know, it's one of those things. You know, I always think if I had gone down that path, whilst, you know, it sounds glamorous and it sounds like it would have been amazing, but then I look around and I think, well, I wouldn't have probably wouldn't have these kids. I probably wouldn't have met my wife. I probably, you know, wouldn't have learnt all these lessons over the last 20, 30 years that I have now to draw on. So it's one of those things. You know, my dad's got a good saying that he always says to me, you know, if you look over your fence and the grass looks greener, sometimes it's not a matter of the grass being greener. It means you need to water your own grass. So, you know. So, yeah, I always sort of look around what I have and, you know, I'm quite grateful for what I've got. Yeah.
From footballer to financier, something had to happen in between. DeMarco says his journey wasn't as profound as some others, but it did lead him to the best outcome he can think of, and it's not his job.
I sort of, you know, I thought what's the easiest job that I could get that sort of, you know, fits with my personality and what I like. And, you know, when I was 18, 19, I was quite a sociable person. I enjoyed music. So I approached in Parramatta Westfields, there was a clothing store, like a young hip clothing store. I approached them and just said, look, if you have any casual work, you know, I'd love to, you know, work. I mean, for me, it was, you know, you go into a shop, you say hello to people and there's music blaring. It was just, you know, a fun thing for me to do. And I thought they're going to pay me for this too, even better, you know. So I worked in that sort of role for, I'd say, a year and a bit, 2 years. Towards when I was around 21, I met my wife who was working two doors up in another shop, a few doors up in another shop at the time. She was going to uni. She was studying accounting, a Bachelor of Finance in accounting or something. But I liked her and I sort of got the idea. I thought, okay, if I'm going to be with her long term, I probably got to think about my future and maybe, you know, what do I want to do with my life? And I sort of started thinking and, you know, I had a chat with my dad who was working in finance at the time. And naturally, as any parent would, they sort of said, look, you know, why don't you have a think about this? You know, I can show you a little bit about it. I understand it. So I started learning a little bit about that through my dad's business at the time. Once I sort of thought I had a decent amount of knowledge, I just applied for a role with a finance company at a very entry level position. And I did that. And, you know, 20 odd years on, here I am now. I run my own finance company. And yeah, it's been one of those, you know, not to sound cliche, but sort of started at the bottom and worked my way through it. And you know, along the way, I've done some study, you know, some you know, entry level studies. I've done a couple of certificates in finance. I've, you know, done my RG146 in securities, derivatives, managed investments. So look, I've done a little bit of study, but really, my education has been done through basically trial and error.
Coming up after the break, we dive into DeMarco's personal property encounters.
Usually when you go to buy, and any of your listeners who buy property, and I'm talking about when you're buying a property that you're most likely going to live in, you usually make a decision within the first 20 seconds of sometimes even just approaching the property, you can make a decision about whether this is going to be it or not.
The reasons why the words emotion and property should never be seen together.
But if you're buying something for investment and the purpose of that acquisition is to give you either a profit, capital growth or income, then you have to be smart.
How looking for a forever home changes your mindset.
But the second we stepped inside and went out onto a balcony, it wasn't that it had a spectacular view or anything. The view was okay, but just something about it was so serene. We fell in love.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey there. Over the years, I've built up a portfolio of properties, and it's been great to see capital growth. But the challenge I face is the passive income has been quite poor, providing a net return of 3-4% per annum. I'd have to buy at least 10 properties or more to generate $100,000 per year. Now, if I had the cash to buy these outright, which I didn't, then I need the help of banks, and as they wouldn't lend me more, I was stuck. This is when I start looking into alternative investments where I could use my equity and cash to generate 25 to 30% per annum returns and fast track my passive income goal. In a short space of 2 years, I've been able to achieve this goal and have tripled my passive income instead. Now, if you want to learn more on how I did this, SMS me your name and email address on 04-88-88-31-32. And I'll send you a free report explaining how I did it. While DeMarco learnt the tools of the trade by using them on the job, he already had a natural disposition for finance, at least at the core level.
I like numbers. Numbers make sense to me. I like money. I like making money. I like understanding how money is made. And I like property. So property is something that really interests me. Now, whether that's property investment, property development. So when sort of thinking about, you know, the idea of finance and you know, when I talk finance, I'm working in finance to do with financing property. So buying and selling of property. So the two sort of excited me. I like that idea. I like numbers. What's crazy, when I say I like numbers, one thing that might shock people is that in year 11 and 12 I did not do mathematics as a selected subject, but back when I was in year 12 it was possible. I didn't do mathematics, but look, I don't mind admitting it because I'm actually like quite good with numbers now, so my wife will kill me for saying this, but many years ago she was interviewing for a job, and it was one of the tests she had to do was an online mathematics. It was like a quick, they quickly flash a question up and you got like 5 seconds to answer it. And it was one, you do it at home. I sat next to her, and as the questions came up, I just gave her the answers like lightning straight away. And she scored. They came back and said, this is the highest score we've ever had on this test. I said, not bad for someone that didn't do mathematics in 11 and 12. So my day-to-day role, I probably crunch, 4 or 5 feasibilities, a day sometimes.
Of course, playing with someone else's numbers is one thing. Putting your money where your mouth is often where the rubber hits the road. For DeMarco, this rings true even outside the world of investment.
The first purchase would have been, how long ago now? About 20 odd years ago now, almost a little bit less. Just getting married, we were looking to buy a property. At that stage, we weren't sure whether we wanted to buy it as an investment or one to live in. I remember it was quite nerve wracking. We found one that we fell in love with. Which, as anyone knows, is puts you in a very difficult position when it comes time to try and negotiate price. It was one of those properties where it was a 2-bedroom apartment in Hunters Hill. At first, when you looked at it, we thought, look, it looks nice, but I don't think it will be the one. You know, usually when you go to buy, and any of your listeners who buy property. And I'm talking about when you're buying a property that you're most likely going to live in, you usually make a decision within the first 20 seconds of sometimes even just approaching the property. You can make a decision about whether this is going to be it or not. Not always, but, 9 times out of 10, you can approach a property and straight away, I don't like this street. I don't like the driveway. I don't like this. This one was a bit weird. Approaching it, we said, no, I don't think so. The road looks a bit too busy and this and that. But the second we stepped inside and went out onto a balcony, it wasn't that it had a spectacular view or anything. The view was okay, but just something about it was so serene. We fell in love, and immediately we asked for a contract of sale and just started the negotiating process. So it was very exciting. The most exciting feeling we had was, I suppose, when they accepted our offer. We went to the offices and signed the contract. And that excitement was swiftly followed by sheer terror once we settled and got the keys and went to visit the property and realized just how bad a condition it was internally. So when you go to look at a property, you know, you don't check little things like windows. Do the windows open properly? Are they jammed? How do the doors open? Are the doors rusted, or what's this, storage area like? So just little things you don't check into. What's the condition of the carpets, you know, or underneath the couch? We didn't realize underneath the couch the carpets were in poor condition. And so we quickly realized a lot of the savings we had set aside were going to be used to bring in the apartment back up to a to a good standard for us to live in. But it was exciting.
Buying property to invest in was a bit of a shock to DeMarco's system. It's more transactional, theoretical, and sometimes even downright taxing in more ways than one.
We later bought another villa in Putney, which was a similar experience. We didn't particularly fall in love with it, but we fell in love with what we could do with this place. So this was something we bought and thought we could completely strip down to the bricks and rebuild the inside. Look, both properties, I'd say if you were to look at them as investments, as let's say you were buying to renovate and flip, I'd say we would have done well on both of them. But it's quite, I don't know if a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, have been involved in property renovations and flipping and selling. It can be a pretty draining experience trying to coordinate things. And all of a sudden a quote has gone from, you know, 2,000 to 3,500 because of something unexpected. And all of a sudden, you know, you're getting carried away with picking expensive tiles for the kitchen and the backdrop, and the budgets can blow out, costs can go up, but overall I think it was enjoyable experiences. We really liked it. Financially, I'd say the second property was more of a break-even transaction, it's fully enjoyable. It's always something, you know, you're thinking about when you're young and you're buying a property to live in. It's not, most of the time in today's day and age, doesn't end up being a house or the property you stay in forever, because naturally family grows and you need more space. So so they're always sort of bought with a view to become an investment. It's easy to get carried away when you start renovating and dressing it up. And you sometimes got to remind yourself, look, we're not going to be here forever. So I don't need the $10,000 bench top.
It's this scenario where feelings and property became involved that DeMarco says can be so damaging. Not because he's heard about it, but because he sees it every day.
I have to say, the properties we've invested in, we've also invested in a commercial office in the city before, which was probably out of the three investments, I'd say was probably by far the best one. I wish I could say we've had a really bad experience on property investing, but I've seen some horror stories. I'd say the one thing that I would probably be wary of most if I was investing in property is not to overcapitalize in the beginning. If you're buying a property for investment purposes, it has to, the only property purchase where I would go all out and not be worried too much about it is obviously a property that's going to be your forever home, you know, because in that instance, you're going to enjoy it. You're going to be there. But if you're buying something for investment and the purpose of that acquisition is to give you either a profit, capital growth or income, then you have to be smart. I've seen, you know, in the property development space, a lot of developers get it wrong because they maybe pay too much for their site, way too much, because they get caught up at an auction and, you know, there's two or three people bidding and they all want the site. And it goes from where their feasibility told them that this site should be worth no more than 1.2 million they ended up paying $1.6 million. So all of a sudden, yeah, to get a profit out of this project, they have to sell the property for a ridiculous amount that's never going to happen. And yeah, that's where you can get caught. So, you know, I would probably recommend people to really take a close look on how much they spend in the beginning, because that could ultimately affect how much profit you end up making on a property purchase. The amount of clients sometimes that I come across that sign contracts of sale and then go and try and organize finance after is just mind-boggling. Now, I don't know if I see more of it because I specialize in that private space, and most people that end up in that situation tend to end up in a non-bank private lending option. But, you know, I would highly recommend people at least engage with a financier or a broker to at least understand what their options are before they sign a contract of sale. Yeah, I mean, I've seen some clients that put themselves in a position where they may be buying a commercial property or a development site, and they've signed a contract of sale. They've got a settlement date now that's looming. They've gone to their bank, who they thought was going to do it, and the bank's turned around and said no. And now they've got 2 weeks to find a finance solution, or they lose their deposit. When you put yourself in that position, you know, you open yourself up to predatory lenders, because you can't hide your situation. It's there to see. If you're not careful, you get lenders out there who will take advantage of that and, you know, charge you astronomical rates and fees. So I guess this sort of comes back to investors and anyone who's looking at property to sort of have, I suppose, a bit of a clean process, a strategic process that you follow when you're buying property or investing. You know, you need to sort of, you know, have a set criteria of things that you do. You know, it's kind of like a pilot. They don't let him take off or let her take off a plane off the ground unless all of the checks have been done by the engineers before the plane is cleared for takeoff. They don't let them just take off and say, okay, we'll just check it when we land or halfway up in the air. Like, it doesn't happen, you know. So I guess, you know, when people are playing with their money, you know, money is not the most important thing in the world, but it's up there with oxygen. Like, it's pretty important. You can't survive without it. So the thought of people being just careless with it and, you know, buying property and that and not thinking about, you know, the risk involved and how they can mitigate that risk, it's crazy sometimes. You know?
Fabian and DeMarco's story continues in the next episode of Property Investory. He'll tell us the most common qualities of successful property projects.
The developers I see around me that are the most successful are the ones that prioritize working with trustworthy and reliable people.
An approach to measuring success that makes life seem a lot simpler.
I'd say probably about 6 months ago, I had this moment where universe sort of tapped me on the shoulder and sort of said, here you go. Here's a little bit of wisdom that you would desperate need of.
The ins and outs of the modern money marketplace.
If you tick that criteria, you now have a myriad of possibilities on how to source financing. And supply and demand, because there are so many of them out there.
And that's next time on Property Investory. If you love the show and you're a wholesale investor wanting to learn more about how I got started in alternative investments, where I've been able to use my equity and cash to generate 25 to 30% per annum returns to fast track my passive income goal, then SMS me your name and email address on 04-88-88-31-32 to register your interest. Now, in a short space of 2 years, I've been able to achieve my goal and have tripled my passive income. To find out how, SMS me your name and email address on 04-88-88-31-32.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.